Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. If I'm high up on a mountain, from low down in the valley, what a lie from the enemy. Everything he throws at us, whether it's sickness or anything, when you feel, you know, grumpy, got an attitude, all these things are lies from the enemy. Yeah, it seems like we're high on a mountain sometimes, and it seems like we're low in the valley sometimes. But the truth is, we're seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. These things come at us. Truly, they come at us. But they're all facts. They're not truth. It's all just facts, and truth triumphs facts. We are got to remember we're in heavenly places with Him.
Jesus.
And when we sing that song, like we got our eyes fixed on the prize or we're running to Him, you know, I'm sure every one of you that has kids or your children, sometimes they're watching a great cartoon. You ever tried to get someone's attention when they're glued to that TV with a cartoon, especially a child, or sometimes Pastor Bronk when he's watching a football game? They're just glued to it. And you know, we got to be that way to Jesus.
Yes.
Keep our eyes fixed on Him, and don't let anything calling us distract us. Remember, we got our eyes on Jesus. We're an overcoming bride.
Yes.
There's one song we sing. I've got my eyes on the prize,
yes,
and I'm an overcoming bride. All those other things,
yes,
are just lies from the enemy.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We can sing that song victoriously, knowing that no matter what, we can praise His name.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Hallelujah. No matter what, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
No matter what,
hallelujah,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Just lies from the enemy, Lord. Hallelujah.
Why don't you guys,
Jesus,
find a place up here, because we'll probably go right back into this. Hallelujah. You can worship, please. Hallelujah. Don't go too far from worship. Hallelujah. Presence. Presence, Father. We worship You. Glorify You. For the order has changed across the planet. Those that have heard, those that have heard the wedding song, the lips of the righteous one has come to kiss His church and bring them up higher into a place that can only be interpreted by the heart-sung kinds of melodies that flow from a heart that wants to know Him more and more, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not neglect this thing, but adhere to it and pull yourself and your senses all the more in to what I have to say, even through such words of exhortation that you've just heard. Remember that I'm calling you to a higher place and a consciousness of always being in My presence and seated in a place that dictates all the things on this plane, on the planet Earth. Nothing shall by any means harm you, saith the Spirit of grace. So, if your destiny is sure and steadfast, and the end has already been written for your behalf, and if you know with a surety that you win, then why not relentlessly follow after Me and go after Me with everything inside of your born-again nature, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sitting and eating peas, black-eyed peas, which is a good thing. It's a God thing. And somebody was asking good questions, like why some and why some not. They were asking out of faith. It wasn't faithlessness. But when you understand what He came to do and what He accomplished unequivocally, didn't get it half done, He got it all the way done. And then in His leaving, He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Let's see, what works did you do? Well, He told His disciples in the end, John 13 through 17, in that last sit down, He said, look, even after all my words to you, if you can't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for the works. What have you seen? What have you seen the Father do through me? And then again, you get to do the same thing. You get to do the same thing. Well, then why not? Why some and some not? Some come up out of it. You pray for some and they live, and some they die. I followed a river one time, metaphorically speaking. I was at this place and I was drinking from this river, and it was getting me some results. I was knowing God and following Him, and prayers were being answered. And yet the cry of my heart was, what's upstream? Where's this thing coming from? Where's it coming from? So in time I followed it, and another man went in front of me and was another guy that I looked to as a mentor. He was up ahead of me in the stream. And I'd get to places in tongues where I'd get to big waterfalls in the Spirit, where for a season great big things would happen. And I'd think, man, looking at the waterfall, this has got to be it. But yet, if their water's falling, then it's coming from someplace else. So where's it coming from? I knew that someplace up where I wasn't at, metaphorically speaking, in the Spirit, there was a reservoir of anything good that flowed through me, and I got anything done and accomplished, like got a person healed or got anything off of somebody. It had to be coming through this river. But if this river was sweet here, what about the pool from which it came from? Well, then God began to deal with us on the line of where all those things come. Presence. And most importantly, about presence, was agape. His pure, unadulterated love. His pure, unadulterated love. When they asked Jesus, Matthew 22, the Pharisee, the young man asked Him, what about the kingdom? He said, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Just keep two. Just keep this one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second one is synonymous with it. It's just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on this all the law and commandments will hang. But you know, if you go back and trace what He said, He didn't quote it just right, although He did. You go back to Deuteronomy 5 and 6, where He gave those commandments. He just simply said, thou shalt serve, or thou shalt have no other gods before me. First one. Make no graven images. Don't curse God. Keep the Sabbath. Then He transitioned from God to man. He said, honor your father and mother. And He said, then don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet. But Jesus said, this was the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know He took everything concerning God and coupled it into one thing and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And He coupled everything, all of the other six commandments that had something to do with me and you, and coupled it into one thing and said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I'm standing at this stream and I'm getting some results, but then I'm not getting some results. But I'm wondering, why is there sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not? When he said, the works that I do, you'll do also, and even greater works. And if you can find one time where he walked away from a situation and said, I can't do anything about it, I'll give you $1 million. I'll have to go finance something and get a bunch of people together. He healed them all. But then he began to say this. Up there, boy, is your answer. Up there is a pool that your newborn human spirit has the capacity to pool my love, to bring it in through a place, a gate, a threshold, a door. And you know, the Holy Spirit through tongues began to take me up that river until I found that door. And others were telling me about it. I found a door of private worship. A door where thou shalt love the Lord thy God and with all thy heart, soul, and mind and strength, and then thy neighbor as thyself begin to be one. And then he began to show me something about the places I was already standing in. See, sometimes you'll be with somebody and they'll talk real bad about somebody, and you'll know there's an offense there. I'm offended. Well, I know, but you need to. Well, I'm still mad. I'm still. And then they'll by what they're saying, they're mad at somebody, offended. But then 30 minutes later, as the conversation transitioned, they'll be talking about God and God's goodness to them, and they'll primp up, get big alligator tears, and start crying. And what that signals to them is that between me and God, we got this rapport going on, and I love Him. And sure enough, they do. Most everybody does. The only thing that they don't know is that most of their alligator tears is more emotion, more human emotion than God-given kind of agape. How do you know that? Because Jesus equivocated both of them, brought them into one, and said, here's a pool. It's one pool, and the waters thereof are all one. In other words, my spirit, my born-again human spirit, and the heart by which I love God out of, I know this, I can't love Him any more than I love that person that I love least on planet Earth. Now, that begins to answer major, mega questions about why sometimes He can and sometimes He can't. Because here's the rhetorical, already answered seemingly. God does through you all He can do at any given situation. It's not that He doesn't want to. It's not that when I'm standing by this river, in other words, if I've got an offense over here, I'm mad. But then I can go over here, pick up one of these little ones, and I just love them. I love them. Did you know it's all one pool? There's no dividing room in your heart. There's no section off place. Okay, we're going to pull this water over here and this water's over here. Okay, I can be real angry over here, but God sees that and He sections that off. But when I come over here, I can have this ebb and flow of God's love and His grace, and me and Him's got this thing going on. No, that section is, that petition was taken off when Jesus said, this is how it all comes together. Love me, love them. And guess what? I found out. Here's the amazing part. Not only does love come out of that same place. Those waters are all, in other words, if they're totally pure, then they're pure. And yet we all find ourselves in that place of transition where we're going from 30 to 60 to 100 fold. But know this, if you took a couple of that water from that pool, if there's strychnine in it, like offenses, then it does this. That same place that you petition God for, or lay hands on, or do anything in the kingdom, it still comes out of, you can't section, you don't have two spirits. You don't have two hearts. this place over here will bleed into this place over here, even though you don't realize it. You think, I'm loving these men. They're my kids. I love them, but I can't hardly stand them over there. Even when you think that you're loving them with the full measure, they're still blinders over your heart, because that pool's all one pool. It's all one pool. Well, my God, then, what in God's name do we do? I haven't arrived, but I kept going upstream, climbing rocks, going over hills, praying, God, show me, because I don't want to be in a place where sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Because if it's predicated on me, what is it that you need from me? What is it that you're asking from me? Well, I found it first in the Word. John said, we know we love Him because we love the brethren. But then as he continued to take us on, I found by following these footprints through praying in tongues and the revelation gift. A man went in front of me. He said, he gave his own testimony. He was at a passion play, probably this time of year. And he was sitting there, and the passion play just left, and he wasn't there anymore, and he saw himself in a place. He said, man, the choir was great. The orchestra was great. The angels flew just like they should. Hell was, they presented it real good. There was just one thing missing. The anointing. And so he slipped in at some point, either going home or there. And he said he saw something dropped into a pond, a big pool. And it resonated from that epicenter, and it began to tsunami itself out until the wakes went from out of the spirit. And he was able to interpret it at the same time. It came out of the spirit. Then it began to get into the soul, where strongholds are at, and confusions and debates and envy and strife, and I got to have the last word, and yeah, I got a right to be offended. It went past that, and it got out into the body, and then eventually the last wave of everything was, it got out into the sphere of where people lived, and it got people healed, and the blind saw and the lame walked. And the Lord said, you know what that is? He said, it's worship. But not this kind of worship. It's private worship. Your intimacy. Your fellowship with me. Because if you'll do that, and if you'll spend some hours and amount of hours, he told him, he said, you'll begin to see the effects of that. And he said it took him a year to ever be obedient to that. But I was following along behind this guy. But at the same time, the Lord began to speak. And you know what I found out? I found out that the significance of that presence, and we call it a presence gift or presence limb, called private worship, it fit so securely, dovetailed and just intricately involved with what 1 John was teaching about how. Because long after somebody tells you that, hey, it might be that that didn't happen, or the car didn't get bought, or the house didn't get paid for, or this, I hate to tell you, but the mixture that you haven't even recognized, like you could, yeah, and they didn't have the right, and I'll tell you, God, they need to get saved, and then, Father, I'm praying, I thank you for that new car, I thank you for that new house, I thank you, it's amazing he gets as much done to us and through us as he does, isn't it? But he does, because he loves us, and he'll cross that void. But I found out he was offering me something, just like he's offering you. Because if anything I found out that would bring his presence, and then his presence would interpret into agape first to me. And then, Once I begin to feel His agape to me and spend that time that He was asking me, something began to happen. I began to see how much He loved you. I began to see something inside of me, that something was being opened up. It was a pool. It was a reservoir. Do you know the born again human nature, what you got saved with? The DNA of it, the typed in DNA. This is what Paul said to Timothy. You have been given a spirit of, not of fear, but of power and of love, agape, and of a sound mind. Meaning, this born again, not the Holy Ghost, He'll come along and help you in it, but your human nature, your born again new nature has an inexhaustible, I mean cannot be exhaustible, capacity to pool the love of God and therein take into that reservoir everyone in your sphere of influence. That's why with these, people have said, and rightfully so, Davy wasn't here this morning. She was headed here. She's got a little one in her that's got my DNA. And sometimes people say, man, wait till you have that first one that's yours. And all of these are mine. And I found out that in that process of the pooling of His love, I knew what Jesus was talking about. How that He would say things like, these are my mothers. These are my brothers. And it's not that we don't appreciate the gift of family. But I found out that what He was after more than anything else was He was after that place, that pool inside of you, that if... Now here's the practical part. When I was on this journey walking upstream, I heard this man talk about his experience and what it began to do for him and how it had begun to increase the miracles. I said to myself, okay, I'm already praying and I'm already spending a certain amount of hours every day praying. Holy Spirit, before I ever visited a conference or anything, what do you want me to do? Well, I understood the part. I mean, I've got 30-something years of Word in me. And Bible college and good teaching by my mom. And I understood the part about entering into His courts with thanksgiving, into houses. I understood the, okay, if you go through a form of prayer, the first thing you want to do, you want to go in and worship God and enter in with thanksgiving. And I understood that part. So I was already, my natural format of prayer on a daily basis was before I ask anything, before I went into tongues or anything, I would worship God for a little while and magnify Him. But then I began to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is this about? Is there something that You want to teach us concerning private worship that begins to open up a capacity in us that God's already given us? And the Lord said, I want you to do this amount of time. I want you to do this amount of time. And then I went to a conference and I heard spiritual father talk about what the Holy Spirit had said to him. And then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go do the same. And I come back. Now, let's go to shot class. We've been teaching theory for a moment. Now, venture with me. Let's walk across the street and go to shot class. Let's go into mechanics. Let's just talk about plain mechanics. Okay, you're talking about... okay. If I'm understanding you correctly, do you mean that sometimes and sometimes not may possibly have nothing to do with Him and everything to do with me? Yes, you got that part right. You mean sometimes prayer is being answered and sometimes not. May, if it's always His will, then it's always His will. If it's done, it's done. Okay, so got A is complete. You understand that part. It probably, most equivocally, 100% has something to do with you and me. How can I improve my chances? Follow the river upstream. Follow the river upstream. What's up there? agapes up there. Unlimited capacities of presence of His glory is up there to change you from glory to glory. So let's step across the street, go to lab, and sit down for a moment when the Holy Spirit begin to say, "Son, I want you to spend these hours." I was telling Dave the other day, I was telling him about a notable miracle that took place through my hands and then another one. Do you know what he said? He was bragging in the Spirit on me and said, "You know, Bronk," he said, "when that came to you, when the Holy Spirit began to teach you about worship, you didn't replace it with the Word." And I let that sink in for a moment. Because if you know Dave Roberson, he's Word, Word, Word. And the Word is, to me, the more I go into God, invaluable. Cannot be replaced. But then again, when the Holy Spirit shows you something else that will grow you up in Christ. See what a lot of preachers will do? They stick with their strengths. They'll stick with their strength. So God will show them something in their life and they'll admire it for a moment or for a week or 2 months and then they'll just go right back to their strength. But they'll never develop that part. Did you know what I found out? Private worship has, it's probably wall to wall, eyeball to eyeball, the gift that brings in presence that stores and pools mass reservoirs of agape that comes to you and then begins to develop that born again new nature, which interprets out to love for others, which interprets out to an increase of miracles going through you. Hallelujah. So I said, "Okay." He said, "The Holy Spirit told me this." I said, "The Holy Spirit told me this. Stay in here and do this amount of time in private worship." So Holy, how hard is it? Flowery words, no. It's this, adoration. I love you. I worship you. You say, that could get redundant, couldn't it? Study the book of Revelation. At least 2 to 3 chapters they're talking about there's a place in God where His glory will pass over you like the 24 elders and the 4 beasts. They say the same words over and over and over. I worship you. I love you. And when your mind goes down the street, been here all day, just 10 minutes. When your mind goes down the street, as soon as you recognize that it's working out a problem, or fishing, or hunting, or doing anything, making money, you reel it back in. Because what you do, as you realize the opportunity of the dignitary that you're standing in front of. If a man or woman that you really respect is standing there and you've got 2 minutes with them and you want to convey something over to them, one thing I don't like is when I'm trying to, it doesn't take my peace, but the thing about it is, if somebody's trying to tell you something, if they're really wanting to tell you, then they should make eye contact. You know, and I can tell when somebody's fighting something and I'll give them room for that. But if I'm standing in front of him, if I was standing in front of President Bush and I had 5 minutes with him, I don't think I would, "Sir, I want to tell you this and I appreciate you those years. No matter what you've been criticized for, I want to tell you, you kept us safe and I appreciate that." And I wouldn't be trying to tell him that and every once in a while go over and pick up a piece of lint off the floor and examine the content. I forgot what I was. What I would do with everything inside of me when I found myself losing the attention, I would pull myself back in to the Father. "Father, I love you. I worship you. Now, to all word people, listen up. Word people, listen. Dave told me, he said, when this came to you, you didn't replace it by the Word. Many of you understand this side of it because you're already practicing it. I found out what I was used to, however long that I was previously before He called me into a deeper private worship life. I found out I could go that limit. And there wouldn't be anything that would distract my mind, and I could feel presence. I worship You. I love You. And I had already developed a pretty reasonable worship time. I love You. I worship You. But then when I got past into uncharted territory, my mind wanted to go this way and that way. Now here's where I understood what Dave was saying. He said, you didn't, when this came, you didn't replace it with Word. Do you ever hear the expression, Elvis has left the building? That sometimes people will think, God's left the building. Okay, I was used to 20 minutes of worship, and so I exhausted that, and I don't feel any presence. It's dry now. So, okay. I understand. God wants me to flip on the light and go into meditating the Scripture. Or write a Hallmark card to somebody and tell them I love them, or journal for a while. Now He's teaching you how to pool those great reservoirs. You know what I found out? That the dry part was not Elvis left the building and God wanted me to go into the Word when He said, I want you to learn this. I want you to spend this amount of time on a daily basis in worship. I found out that what had happened was I had swam over to the limit of my pool, and the membrane that I was up against, that thick membrane, was a wall of flesh. It was a flesh. But guess what? Hidden in that flesh was all the disease of offenses and anger. And then I had to ask myself the question, because it's real easy to hide behind good things like the Word or confession or anything that you're used to. I had to ask myself, what is it? Of course, I probably wasn't the one asking. It was probably the Holy Ghost. What is it about my flesh that won't let me? That wants to get fidgety and won't let me extend this time into uncharted territory. Guess what? I found out God had not left the building. I found out He was right behind that thick membrane called flesh. And I found out if I just sit there day after day, it took maybe a week or two. It took some time, but I found out through extended hours of worship, God came. But guess what? He was already there. And the weeping and the pooling that came, those first few times, I remember one, and I wouldn't even tell anybody about it. Except maybe Candy. A presence would come so strong in the room. One time it pushed me up against the wall. I wasn't scared. It pushed me up against the wall and pressed me down to the floor like an accordion. And it was such a weighty kind of glory that I could not stand. One day I stepped out of my office and I didn't even know what was on me. I was going to just take a 5-minute break. Been in there for hours. I found out something too. I found out a glimpse, just a glimpse, of what Revelation 4 is talking about when it says they stand there day and night, day and night. When it was me and I was up against, I'd swam to the edge of my pool. But yet I found out that human spirit had the pool of capacity that it could just absolutely, was inexhaustible. When it was me and I'd swam to the edge of my pool, it had gotten real dry, and my God, 10 minutes. 10 minutes felt like 6 or 7 hours. But when I broke through, I'd go across the lawn with a thermos or a hot cup of coffee and set it down and begin to worship God. And then when I broke through, I'd say, okay, now I can take a sip of this 5-minute old coffee, and it'd be cold, And I'd look at my watch and I'd say, God, what happened? 3 hours. I just stepped into this. I just stepped into it. 3-4 hours. Are you serious? You get lost in a place. So when I swam over to the edge of my pool and met myself, and I remember I stepped out one day to walk around the block, and I was coming down Nassau, and I worship you. I'm just going to go back over there in a few minutes. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Here comes these two guys, and they're big enough guys, and they on bikes, and one's Spanish, one's black, and they come up. And somebody's flanking me, so I'm looking. And they stop alongside of me. And I'm thinking, you know, what do they want? So the black guy says, I know you. And I said, I don't think so. He goes, yeah, you went to school here. Nope. No, I came over here in 97, March of August of 97. And I said, yeah, that church over there, that's where I pastor. So we're out in the middle of the street, and Spanish guy, black guy. I didn't know what was on me. So the Spanish guy, when I tell him I'm a preacher, he goes, because I wasn't looking down, he goes, would you pray for my foot? I said, what's wrong with it? He goes, I got gout in it. It hurts real bad. I looked down, it's swollen. I said, oh man, you sure do. And the truck's coming. Car. I said, let's go this way just a little bit. Let them go around us. Now, these are guys, you know, they're just street. No God, no Holy Ghost. And all I begin to say is, couldn't even get his name out. Just couldn't get Jesus. And both of them, without any music going on, without any us coming together, both of them begin to go, oh, oh. And the black guy said to the Spanish guy, I think it was, he goes, one of them said to the black guy, I think, said to the Spanish, he goes, man. I mean, they didn't... A presence just come into the street. And it was a presence of agape. Now let me tell you how you can do this. If you choose to. If you want to change your percentage of answered prayer, and mainly if you want to come to a place where the first thing that you'll find about it is peace. Because the first thing that He'll do before He starts even ministering through you is He'll offer up all of everything that He died for in peace. If you're willing to take this journey, it's called private worship. You'd think that when you make a decision like, I want to go into God and I want to spend more time in something like He's talking about, if it's not just for preachers, and I say it's for you, the son or daughter of God, you'd think that the moment you made that decision and said, okay, I will, you'd think all of a sudden angels would start singing, oh, and what's that? Fidelity Mutual or one of those insurance companies that the green line just shows you. And you, oh, now I made the decision. And now there's not going to be any distractions to keep me from. He left getting the distractions off to you. Because He said, we're in this world, we're not of this world, but An enemy has brought great ruin to my father's garden. We're still Adam and Eve now. We've been regenerated. And we're supposed to go into this garden and drive this enemy out wherever we find him. And when this enemy is camped in different parts of our life that defy us going into private worship or any aspiration in God, God's not the one that's going to come and do it. We as Adam and Eve have to step up and say, I found you in my Father's garden. Now I'm going to drive you out. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you sit down, whatever He tells you to do, I shudder to mention times because I don't want people to say, I can't do that. I can't. Whatever. If your normalcy has been 5, 10, 15 minutes and then you're ready to go to something else, know this. That if you'll give yourself to an extended season of private worship. Now this is how my dad taught me. My spiritual dad taught me. And I can't find a better way to tell you this. When I begin to learn this. Man, he's doing shop class this morning. When I begin to learn this. He said, take away all stimulations of the flesh. I love music. I love this. I love this. But to make sure that the human spirit began to learn a process by which would never be taken away from me and that I could push past dry seasons and I did not need any helps, the Holy Spirit took away any playing of music. Well, is there anything wrong with that? Oh, no, I enjoy it. I love it. But in those molding months and years, and still now, on my weekly basis, when I go into private worship, I don't have any help. Because you know what I found out? Your born again human spirit really doesn't need any help at all to worship God. The other thing too is, I found a place that was very private. And this may sound a little quirky to you, but I turned off all the lights so my mind wouldn't be spying this and spying that. And I could get my body real quiet. My body real quiet. And begin, and then my time before was, I could easily spend hours in the Word or hours in tongues. But anytime I'd want to go ahead and I'd pull myself back and say, no, you're going to learn this. You're going to learn this. Now I can go back and forth and find the help of the Holy Spirit and where He wants to take me to the next level. But in those hours, in those days before my spirit was really breaking through into private worship and He wanted to pull that agape and pull it in and give me more peace, I would discipline myself and say, okay, I'm going to lay here these hours and I will not give myself to tongues and I'm not going to listen to anything. And oh yes, when I catch my mind running down the street, and sometimes, some days it would be 1,000 times in 5 minutes. But I kept on because I found out something. What I could not feel was not Him wanting me to do something different or that He'd even left. It was what I was used to. But beyond what I was used to, God was sitting there real fat and ready and saying, my son, come on up to where I'm at. I've got a place in my presence that I want to pour out my agape to you. And when I can get it over to you and you know how much I love you and you get to look at people through my eyes, that's when miracles. I'd been word, and word is synonymous with what was going on in there. But all of a sudden, I'd step out in the street, and guys that I didn't even know said, ooh. They felt the tsunami went from inside of me out to where like Smith Wigglesworth or Amy McPherson, Maria Woodworth Eder. You just walk in because they pooled His presence. So what is that to me? I don't know what that is to you. If 15 minutes has been your limit, go in. Extend your time. Find a place of shop and say, okay, I want to worship You. Your Word says. You want to put it on the Word. The Word says You inhabit the praises of Your people. Meaning if I continue to stay here in this place, You'll come and endow me with Your presence. And Your presence only equivocates out to more love to me, in me, and through me. And God, it's impossible. It's just, I don't even have to face that. I don't even have to look at that. It's impossible for me to hate them or to be offended if I get more of Your presence working inside of me. Hallelujah. Tole maklese. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to worship You. Turn off that. Those are just luxuries to me now. They're not a necessity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you arrived? Oh my God. The last boulder I came over, I looked up and I could see up in there. There is a place called done. There is a place where the word that we talk about, that it's a finished work, and the reality of the moment that we pray and everything that we're standing in comes to pass just like that. Hallelujah. 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 Well, if I decide to do this tomorrow and extend my 20 minutes of, well, let's say you even had, but don't worry about that. If you don't, then you've got to not admire it. You can't admire it and have it. The only thing is that I found out. You know what I found out? What you already know. No amount of grace or anything that He provided in the Word. Nothing in the Word or no amount of grace replaces intimacy in time spent. Because how can time spent be replaced by anything but time spent? I love you, Candy. I love you. I love you. Okay, then date me. Spend some time with me. Talk to me. Oh no, I just love you. See you. See you. But stepping into that place, if you garrison yourself up and know, okay, I make a decision. Angels aren't going to sing. In fact, you may get a few more opportunities to be distracted. But if you go forward, watch out. Watch out for the change that takes place.
Sir.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. All glory and honor. All glory and honor. Hallelujah. Why don't you say this with me? I say
that
Immokalee
is in revival.
The blind see.
The
lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Wait a minute. Let's go to a notable. I mean, one that puts the devil on notice. Let's speak one that just all of hell fears and trembles. I say
that
we're able
to get along with each other
while revival
rages
in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to go there, but I really don't want to get too involved, because I find out, the more I get involved, I find out people are, you know, their faults and their failures, and it really hurts, Pastor. It really does. You're not even in the game. You're not even in the game until you can find out the worst about somebody and still love them for who they are. She hadn't even got inside the huddle yet. Them guys down. I played a little bit inside linebacker. I like that position. You get dirty and you get run over a lot of times too. But you playing up in nose guard and all them guys that come alongside of you. You just got out of a defensive huddle and you're by the third quarter, you're stinky real bad. And there's sweat and maybe somebody's scab is busted on you and there's blood on your jersey. But you don't go and get down and say, you know, man, you stink. And would you move your arm over? You sweating on me. And you're nasty. No. And when all that happens and everybody's on top of each other, it's all that goo and everything, and everybody's just thinking about the game. And anybody that ever run over to the sidelines and said, Coach, could you take me out? Why? Because that right guard, that guy that's, you know, or that guy that's playing beside me, that defensive tackle, every time I go up to the line, I smell him. And I don't want to smell. I smell their stink and I smell their odor. And that coach would grab you by the face mask and pull you out. Because all you're thinking about is winning a game. And people get into church and they say, oh, God, I didn't know they had that kind of fault. Sometimes people find a place where they think, oh, my, this is the church. If you found a perfect church, when you got there, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. And when you discover a bunch of people and you say, oh my God, that's who I've been looking to hang out with for years in Christendom, I found out something else. Flesh is flesh in Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Alaska, it's flesh, and there's only one way to beat it. It's through the mortification of the Spirit. And when you find a bunch of people and you say, oh God, they're just wonderful, wonderful, you just hadn't got to know them yet. Get in the game and get in the huddle and you'll find, oh God, they got the same weaknesses as the last church. Yeah, and you'll find no perfect one. Just get in there and get with going into God, and people's faults won't worry you anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Where does it? I never have any intention on this stuff. I don't. I don't practice it or nothing. It just comes out. So, see, he spanks me and then I spank you. No. It's all good, though. Hallelujah. How many would like a opportunity to see the blind, see the lame walk, and a threefold cord, which is not easily broken, people getting along with each other, knowing faults and failures, and saying, oh, God's working on them. I won't touch them with my mouth. Let God work on them. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. As this revival ensues, and we've done our part, and if he tarries to the next generation, the baton that will pass, having gotten it underway, some of these names you'll know in infamy. Hallelujah. They'll live. Hallelujah. They'll say, my God, is that so and so? That young lady, that young man. Because they're standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. They're learning to pray in tongues. Seek God. Wow, the knowledge that we're giving them. And then the demonstration. Because here's the deal. I not only am looking for the ability to say these things, but as Paul said, I came not with enticing words, but in the demonstration. In other words, you could bring somebody, and after a while this, yeah. I'll prove you wrong by my intellect, or I know more scriptures than you've got. After a while, less is better. Less is better, and you just say, okay, could you hold that argument for hold it till after church and we'll go back to it. So you walk over because of what's endowed with you, because Jesus said, look, if I didn't convince you through 3.5 years of talking it into you, believe me, because I was able to heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, cast out devils, maimed, which means there was no body part, it grew out in front of them. Hold that argument, what you're wanting to argue with me about if tongues are for today, or can we have this kind of outpouring? Hold on. In Jesus' name. Watch a body part grow out. Okay. While you're adjusting to those new toes, and there's no funk in between them, because they're clean now. Wiggle your toes. And I'm going to go over here and argue with this person. What did you have to say about healing wasn't for today? Oh, I forgot. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. So that's what these will see. And that's what they saw, the 12. And so they were baptized, in a sense, knowledge along with the Holy Ghost, because what they had seen is 3.5 years of never failing to get one off the sick bed or leprosy leaving immediately. So if I follow you for 3.5 years and I see what you do, then for me, it's like old habit. My senses are baptized. So here's the inertia. The inertia is this. Once it gets rolling, can somebody push this rock over the hill? Is there really life out there? Is there the blind seeing, the lame walking? But once the first few come out of the gate, and you witnessed it last service, your expectation level will come up into a place where you'll come in and the inertia of faith will provide an energy in the spirit that'll say, my God, He did it last service. He'll do it again. And that will give way to more in the next service and the next. And this is why the onset is the hardest, to get this boulder up the mountain and push it over the edge, because He's seen these generations come that would believe God before. And once it gets started, you talk about it's hard to get Congress to rework something that's already been adopted. It's 10 times 10,000 more times once the believability factor in somebody goes to a certain level. Then Satan has absolutely raised up a whole... It takes him another 100 years to breed that out of a generation, because once that boulder gets going downhill, it's picking up energy. And the inertia of it, it lives off its own strength. The strength of last service gives way to the next service, and the power of the euphoria of seeing what God did in the last gives way to an expectation of what He'll do in the future, and we're well on our way. Hallelujah to Jesus. Worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. I worship You, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I think this will be it. You'll bring these millions down. Why is there laughter? Hallelujah. And then as you bring it down, you'll give somebody a great big squeeze. And we'll see you next Sunday, some Wednesday night, some Friday night. Hallelujah. We need to get your bat phone number Because if revival hits in the middle of the week and you want to know about it and come down here and sit for hours, we need to know how to get in touch with you. Because I'm expecting any moment of any day. Glory be to God. And then, sorry, your chair that sometimes you debated whether or not you could make it and fill it up, somebody will have it. And you'll have to be saying, my God, what service do you think we can go and camp out in the parking lot and hit during the day? And then you'll be wanting to carry that chair home so you can bring it back next week. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Candy and I love you. We thank you for coming this morning. His grace is sufficient. One last time, let's just lift our hands. Let's kind of just worship at least halfway through a song. And then I'll signal you and you can bring it down. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you.